Hey Angela. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I can't believe it. I still didn't have it right.
There's a learning curve, that's for sure.
Yeah, how are you doing?
You able to hear okay with this?
Yeah, I think so. I have to get that this hearing aid had to get repaired. And when I picked it up, he didn't make the adjustments. It's barely making its sound for me. If it wasn't for this one, I wouldn't hear hardly anything. It'd be the same, with it or without it. So I go back on next Monday to have him straighten that out.
Yeah, because some people use hey John, Liz, some people actually use headphones to do this, plug it straight into their computer, and that might be a better sound if you have headphones.
Let me go ask one of the boys. I'll ask the boys. Steven, do you have headphones?
Is that Carol?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Carol.
Who says you can't teach an old dog new tricks?
I'm telling you what, I learned how to do this myself. So how's the weather up your way?
It's raining quite hard right now, but it's good because it's taking the snow off.
Oh, great. Maybe it'll wash the virus away too.
I doubt that, but one can hope.
Yes, I know.
So, John and Liz, are you on the phone or are you from Liz to everybody? I cannot hear for some reason.
Is your volume on your computer on?
No.
Hi,
Sure.
Adela. So is John there to help there? Hi. Liz can't hear.
No.
Somebody help.
Carol. Hi,
No. Isn't this a treat?
Yes.
And think of how far away I am.
I know. This is wonderful.
Well, I do these Zoom calls with friends in the UK and in France, so that works too. Yeah.
Does anyone know if Liz is on her phone?
I think she's on a phone.
Yeah, she has. Yesterday, I had to actually give permission to my camera and my microphone on the phone in order to be able to hear and
No, who can get that
see.
information to her?
What was the question?
You text her. Well, Liz is on her phone, we
She
think.
can't hear.
Yeah. And so she needs to have someone help her turn the volume on her phone so that she can hear.
Oh,
Yeah,
I
Well,
don't.
whatever Keithy said.
Yeah. I don't have her phone number.
I do. Hang on.
Oh, wait, no, I do.
Okay.
Steven, the door.
Oh, that was prophetic. Okay. So we're all gathered early.
That's fun to see everybody.
Yeah.
I'm excited. When Carol texted me today, I went, oh, Carol's gonna be on the Zoom meeting. I'm so excited. Ooh.
So, Carol, was it easy getting in following the instructions?
Absolutely not. The
Oh.
instructions were wonderful.
Okay.
And I played all of the music that Key suggested beforehand as if I were going to do that. And that was also easy and very pleasant.
Wonderful.
Right.
Yeah, that's great.
Text sent. That's your number.
pollen has really got my throat messed up.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, our cars are covered in green pollen.
Oh, glad I'm not there.
Yeah. Here's the Avila clan enjoying the outdoors. Jeffrey in the background.
There's Jeffrey.
Yep.
Hi, Jeff.
And Horace's knee.
That's right. Because they're smoking a cigarette. Having,
Horace and Amelia and Jeff are outside and they're with their laptop. So where are they? Where are they going?
It's nice.
Hey, yep. Mike.
It's nice. Hey.
Hey, Mike.
That's how you do it.
Hey, where's the deer head?
Unless you have allergies.
Oh, hey. Wait a second.
Can I go get it?
Sorry. I apologize.
What?
He's going to go get it.
If Angie, if you're going to cough, I need to put a towel or something over your face on the computer.
It's okay. He's going to prove that he shot a deer.
Oh, okay.
Right. Not the real kind. Here it is. Can you see it?
You got to hold it up.
Yeah, hold up a little bit. Oh, wow.
I shot it at like about 30 yards. The only thing I could see was the head.
Yeah, right. 30 yards, more like 3 feet.
Because it's sitting down in grass. So it was covered like here. I don't know where the head went to. I shot it with a 308.
Hey, I expect the antlers to be mounted on a plaque.
I am mountainous. This is
okay. Oh, man.
I was going to mount it with the bullet. The problem is the bullet's bigger than the antlers.
Hey, I think we're just about ready to start here, and we've got Brian and Joan there. Hi, guys.
Hey, guys.
Hey. Oh,
hi, Brian and Joan.
Oh, and there.
We've got Anna and Dara. Hi, Anna and Dara.
Hello.
Liz, can you hear yet?
Where are they?
Well, they're on a phone, and you have to do certain things if you're on a phone, I think. So, let's see. Anybody else? Carol's here. Okay. All right.
Carol McDonald, too?
Yes, she is.
Yes, way up here in Maine in the rain and snow. Yay!
So do you see her?
Up north.
Yes.
Okay, good. Good, good, good.
I'm not scaring you.
No. Not scaring. I like that shirt.
Thank you.
Whatever your name is.
Horace and Amelia.
Amelia?
Yes?
I like your shirt.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, you never said you liked it when I wore it at church.
Liz, can you hear now?
It doesn't match you.
Hey.
Thank you so much for the music, sir.
You're welcome.
It was great.
Yes, it was very good.
Oh, I had a lot to do with that.
You did. You got it together.
With the music being great.
Dara and Anna, your mic is muted, as you know, but you want to say hey, you know.
Oh, hi, guys.
Hey, there we are.
Hey, hi.
Andrea is asleep.
I haven't seen you till
now. Oh, okay. Here we are. Yeah.
All right.
Are we going to get started at this thing?
Yes, sir.
Because there's certain things that we will be doing through this. We're going to mute everybody. That's one thing. So that way we're focused on Don and whoever is speaking at the time. And it's going to be a little bit of different format. Worship, like Keith sent out them songs, which were really wonderful. We just heard them just now. Mm. And what we'll do is I'll open up with prayer. Then Don will give the sermon, and then we're going to close with the prayer needs. And so there you have the ability to, on this app, to send texts or messages on the bottom.
Yeah.
So if you have any requests that's not listed on Sue's Saturday email, then let us know and we'll bring those needs up. Okay, so we're gonna go ahead and mute. How do you mute everybody?
No, Don's gotta do that.
Oh, Don, mute us all, except, you know, of course, me.
Well, we can mute ourselves, but he can mute us
all. Yeah, maybe if everybody just mutes themselves, down in the bottom left corner of your screen, there's a mute.
Not that I see.
So there's a little... I
touch it to make it do something.
A little microphone.
A little microphone over to the left.
Bring your cursor down to the bottom left of your screen. And the mute will show up.
And if you're on a phone, I'm not sure.
There it is.
I don't remember how to do it on a phone. That's the notes.
Oh, okay.
Sermon notes.
Well, I don't have a cursor.
Okay. Well, I'll mute you then.
Okay.
There you go. You're muted, Brian. Sorry. Okay. So, shall we start?
Yes.
You know, it's not a good idea probably today to be out here, but it's hot. Okay. I just want to share something with everybody. During these times of this virus and everything, and, you know, people fearing and fearful about where all their provisions will come from, about their own health and you know, will I get it? Well, That's you're just being honest with yourself, and I can understand, but our hope is in, you know, our Lord, and our protection is from our Lord. So try not be as fearful, and then also let's not throw out judgmental things, you know, about what's going on, you know. Well, you know, you shouldn't have done this because now you've brought this on, and definitely do not blame this virus. Not blame it, but say that, hey, God brought this on so that he could, you know, straighten out his people. Well, no, that's not what he's about. He's about love. He's about hope. He's about encouragement and giving people peace in his love. So, also, this morning I was watching my YouTube homesteading program, and there was this one girl who said she had she was helping out her brother, who's a tattoo artist, and he was hurting financially, so she got a shirt made so that she could sell to support him. And on there, what she wrote on there, what she had on the shirt was "Rise and Shine." And in her case, and plant a garden. Well, and the reason why she did that is because she wanted to warn the homesteading community not to go out there and say, "I told you so," because you're not homesteading. You don't have provisions like gardens and food on your land or whatever. Then "I told you so," you should have been prepared. She's a Christian. So that's not, you know, you're never going to win. In Christianity, you're never going to win people over to the Lord with "I told you so." You can only win them over with love and compassion in their time of needs. So, yeah, I say rise and shine and plant a seed. Well, time for prayer. Sorry. Sorry for my soapbox, but I had to say that. So, Father, we come to you this day, separate but together as one in your body. And we're here to worship you, praise you, and give you glory, Father, because you are our hope. You are our protector. You have built a shield, a hedge around us, Father. You will protect us, Father. We have faith in you. We believe in you, and we love you. So we just are here under your protection, under your hope, under your provisions that you've given us, Father. Let us be compassionate to all. where you gave, for you died for us, as the scripture that you quoted yourself, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God is not the God of condemnation, Father. You are not. You are the God of love and compassion. Give us that love and compassion to show to others. And we're here to just thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen. Well, this is really an exciting thing here, to know that we are among hundreds of millions of believers around the world doing the exact same thing. You know, I had an email from our friend Didier in Mulhouse, France the other day. They're doing their church services by Zoom also in France. And I had a text from my brother in Northern Alberta. And while they're all confined to their homes up there as well, they are also doing their church services and their Bible studies by Zoom. So that's really a crazy idea that we're all doing this together. And so here we are this afternoon, and I'm not muted, am I? Am I muted? Oh, okay. Everybody else is pantomiming here. Okay. So, you know, I mean, the exciting thing for me, the powerful thing that we have in this day that really separates us from a lot is the fact that we have hope in this season. And so that's why, if you had an opportunity to print off the notes that I sent this morning, since I'm not going to see you, literally, I sent my notes that I'll be speaking from, if you've got them printed out or whatever. And so I've just titled today's message, Got PPE. You know, we're all about acronyms these days, and PPE shows up in so many different places. And obviously it's for, like I've got at the bottom of the page, personal protection equipment. And so do we have PPE? So I just want to read my paragraph here, which you may have already read, but the words onslaught, outbreak, warfare, siege, attack, battle, enemy, pandemic. Suddenly we find our conversations peppered with these words and others like them. They instigate fear, dread, anxiety. Our world is in upheaval, scrambling for answers, for relief, for assurance, for hope. If only there was a source to go to. And thanks be to God, he is. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. His church stands firm because the rock that is higher is still standing. We've been trained up for just such a time as this. So let's take a fresh look at our PPE to restore our perspective, to remind us we are called to be beacons lighting up the darkness, pointing the way home for the homeless. That's our role. That's the position that we've been training for all of our Christian lives. And some of us have been training for only months. Some of us have been training for decades. And, you know, but this is what God has created us for. This is what he wants. He wants, you know, we're a city on a hill. We're a light that is not supposed to be put under a bushel, under a basket, to be hidden. And so here we are in this wonderful position doing and being in a position of having everything that God has chosen for us. This is really an amazing thing. And so what I wanted to do is, you know how a searchlight works in the dark? It pans around, everything is dark, and then all of a sudden, as it passes, it lights up whatever is in its path, with whatever is in its scope there. And so here's this passage out of Ephesians 6 that we have looked at and referred to so many times. But I feel like the God's searchlight has come across onto this passage again, this letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesians. And I just want us to take a fresh look at it. And today, to make it fresh, I've printed out for you in the notes from the Passion Translation, because I think this is a real powerful, there's some powerful wording in here that we may have missed having read it so many times in our own other translations. So here it is from Ephesians 6, and this is about our, the armor, God's armor. So let's read from verse 10 here in the notes. Paul writing, ending up his letter, "Now, my beloved ones, I have saved these important truths for last. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. Put on God's complete set of armor provided for us, so that you'll be protected as you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion against the heavenly realms. For they're a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. Because of this, you must all wear the armor God provides, so you're protected as you confront the slanderer, for you are destined for all things and will rise victorious. Put on truth as a belt to strengthen you to stand in triumph. Put on holiness as the protective armor that covers your heart. Stand on your feet, alert, then you'll always be ready to share the blessings of peace. In every battle, take faith as your wraparound shield, for it is able to extinguish the blazing arrows coming at you from the evil one. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance, like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies. And take the mighty razor-sharp spirit sword of the spoken word of God. Pray passionately in the spirit as you constantly intercede with every form of prayer at all times. Pray the blessings of God upon all his believers. And pray also that God's revelation would be released through me every time I preach the wonderful message with bold freedom at every opportunity. Even though I am chained as a prisoner, I am his ambassador." So I find there's just great wording in here, fresh descriptors that help us in so many ways to realize what God has given us. And we look at this passage sometimes, and it's been preached to us in just the literal sense of armor, like a soldier back in the day would have put on. But as we look at it from a spiritual sense, especially with this, the siege that's going on right now with this virus and all our social distancing and all the things we're dealing with, there's a lot that is happening that I think we need to focus on and realize God has equipped us for this. This isn't a surprise for him. He knew it was coming. He's more than enough. His sufficiency is not lessened in any way by what's going on with this. And, you know, he probably knew we'd all be confined to our homes, and he probably knew about Zoom long before we did. And so, you know, he's, you know, how I always say God gets mileage out of everything. I think God is getting total mileage out of this thing. And he knows he's prepared his church. He knows we're ready for this. And even though it might be disconcerting to us sometimes, God certainly knows what he's doing. And so just wanted to look at some of these lines that are here, and I've underlined them in the passage just so we'll have a, you know, some specific things. And then, but the first one there in the first paragraph, be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. I mean, that's the promise. That's what we believe. We believe we've been supernaturally infused with strength. That's our position. That's our biblical understanding. That's what we know. But often our problem is it's not what we feel. And so the enemy takes advantage of our feelings, of what we, how we respond to what we read, to what we hear. And, you know, if we've been reading all the reports, you know, it's amazing that what we get in our news feeds and through the media and everything is always the infection rate and the death toll. And we're just not used to seeing this on a regular basis. You know, when I looked up probably 10 days or so ago, the average death toll from the flu each year here in the United States is 40,000. I was shocked. I had no idea that many people died of the flu every year in this country. And a few years ago, we looked and saw that the total was over 61,000, which is amazing. But now we report every death from this virus, one at a time. And a statistic I heard and tried to verify yesterday, which I think is right, of those who are infected and get sick from the virus, the recovery rate is 99%. You know, sometimes this is being presented as if it's the bubonic plague and there is absolutely no cure and you are going to die. And, you know, the truth is, even those who get sick, and yes, it's like the flu, and anyone that's had a bad case of the flu, you know, it's awful. Whoa, Horace just wiped the screen. You're still on my screen, you guys, for some reason. So I think what's really important for us is to have this perspective that, yes, it's serious. Yes, we want to take these precautions. Yes, we want to be listening and obeying orders that are given and whatever. But at the same time, we need to see that this is not like the plagues of the past and whatever, and it was sure certain death. So, you know, there's that perspective as we look at this. And so as we are supernaturally infused with strength, that's an inner strength that gives us some inner steel, that lets us stand in the face of some of these things and not just be thrown around by everything that we read as if it's the final word. In the second paragraph, the line I've underlined is, he says, because of this, you must wear all the armor that God provides. And as I thought of that, one of the things that is in the church right now is each type of church focuses on a specific aspect of what we have as believers. And what we need to do is realize we have something to learn from all churches. And, you know, Sue and I have the privilege of going to these monthly meetings with the pastors of York County who represent different streams of the church. And what's such a blessing, which is so rich, is we glean from them all the riches that their tradition brings with it. And so we understand that we don't have everything. The Vineyard, John Wimber would often say, you know, we're not everything. You know, we need the whole body of Christ. And so we need to be there to support one another. And we need to not think like we're the only ones. You know, like all the jokes going around, the people in heaven and they're in their own separate building because they think they're the only ones there. You know, we're not going to be thinking that. And so I think what's important for us is to wear all the armor, wear everything that God has given us, and to learn from all the riches of scripture and different church traditions, recognizing that none of us has it completely right. We're never going to be 100% on stuff, and probably in 10 years there'll be some things that we're still off on that we will recognize and go, oh gosh, I was really dumb back then. So, you know, each year hopefully we'll be less dumb on certain things. So wearing all the armor that God provides, there's just a rich inheritance for us in all of that. But the next one is put on truth. And you know, that brings up a lot of stuff to me because, you know, we read stuff in the media where there's spin, there's the political aspect of everything. And then, you know, the idea that we're doing is talking about in the media now how many deaths there are from this thing. It's like, well, that's only part of the truth. You know, the 99% recovery rate, I mean, that's also part of the truth. I wish we would do a little bit more of that and mention a little bit more of that. I've been reading, of course, in my favorite author, Dallas Willard, and in his book, Living in Christ's Presence, he references Psalm 1, you know, but do not, you know, take part in the counsel of the ungodly. And Dallas has a great description of what is the counsel of the ungodly. And so I just wanted to read a little bit out of this this page, what Dallas Willard refers to as the counsel of the ungodly out of Psalm 1. He says, it is just the way most people talk. It's the counsel to live as though it were not true that you're an unceasing spiritual being with an eternal destiny in God's glorious universe. The counsel of the ungodly, according to Dallas Willard, is live as if it matters what people think of you. The counsel of the ungodly is live as if the outcomes of your life are on your shoulders and you control them. The counsel of the ungodly is live as if aging is something to worry about. Who would ever worry about such a thing? Or the counsel of the ungodly is live as if satisfying your desires and appetites is central to your well-being and a wise strategy for living. That's the counsel of the ungodly, he says. It goes on all the time, and we rarely even see it. So we're surrounded, according to Dallas Willard, with counsel of the ungodly. And the ungodly are just people who don't reference God first in what they say. And so in our media, our news feeds, all of these, the social media platforms, so much of what is out there is counsel of the ungodly. Obviously, not all of it, but there's a lot, and we need to put on truth. If we're going to expose ourselves, and it's next to impossible not to, if we're going to be exposing ourselves to counsel of the ungodly, I think it's really important that we come at it with the truth, wearing the truth, wearing what is really true, what stands up with Scripture. And not something that is just, somebody writes a report, writes an article, puts a blog up somewhere on in the blogosphere. But let's be armed with truth. Let's put truth on so that everything we read, it gets filtered through, well, here's where I'm coming from. I'm coming from a basis of truth. So put on truth, he says, as a belt to strengthen you to stand in triumph. And how many times have we read something that has left us feeling like uneasy, disquieted, even stressed, just because it's like, oh my gosh, that's so terrible. And so I think we really need this truth to help us stand in triumph. And then he says, put on holiness. Well, you know, the whole Philippians 4 passage of the things that we should think about, that's part of putting on holiness. Put away what isn't of God. Put away what we know isn't holy. But intentionally put on holiness. In these days, let's separate ourselves with real intentionality away from any of the stuff that we know is not helpful. Because as I mentioned in the notes at the beginning, God has called us to be beacons. And we're to be lights in the darkness. And part of that light is like a that searchlight looking for people who are homeless, who are without a spiritual home. And it's our job. It's one of the things that he's put us here for, you know, to be useful instead of useless. And so he wants us to be able to stand and to be that light. And then at the end of that paragraph, he says, then you'll always be ready to share the blessings of peace. I think our ability to share blessings of peace in our day, as we encounter people who truly are fearful, who feel like this is the apocalypse, this is the end of the world, and that no one is going to survive and all that, we have an opportunity to bless people with peace. Just have an attitude that, wow, you know what? It isn't really that bad. I mean, this is a beautiful spring day. The temperatures are going up to where they should be, et cetera, et cetera. at least in my opinion. So I know not everyone agrees with me, and you're muted. So the other thing in the next paragraph, embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance like a helmet. He's got it in italics, and I underlined it again, to protect your thoughts from lies. You know, I think we all have to deal with what we're, you know, to pay attention to what we're paying attention to recognize what lies are getting in and impacting me. You know, it's just like watching a movie or reading a book that's all engrossing and we're so into it. And then, so everything that's going on becomes so real, as if it really is true, it's really happening. And I think it's really important to protect our thoughts from lies. When the enemy is coming against us, when we know it, you know, and that's another thing I think is, as we understand to be in his presence, is to be his fullness of joy. And remember we looked at in his presence, that means face to face with him, is fullness of joy. As we get to know joy in that way more and more, when that joy starts to go away, when the light starts to go out, and when fear starts to creep in, we'll be so sensitive to it that we'll be able to go, whoa, I'm not going there. I know the result if I take this in. If I start believing this, accepting this, and going along with this, this is really going to destroy me. So I need to make sure that I'm protecting my thoughts. So really think this is important for us in this time. And then just his last things he urges his church there in Ephesus is to pray. And he says, pray passionately in the Spirit as you constantly intercede with every form of prayer at all times. Such an incredible thought that we get to go, as we pray, we go into God's presence, which is that place of fullness of joy. We go there on a regular basis. God chooses to meet us there and to fill us with joy, to restore our perspective, to help us to see what is true about us, because we, you know, I mean, I love you guys, and I, you know, and I know God loves me, but there are a lot of times we speak lies about ourselves. We speak lies about what the scripture says of us. We speak lies of what God's power is able to do through us. And so we need to be in that presence so that he can erase those things and say, first of all, stop saying those things. Like, I'm useless. If God knew what I was through in the past or what I had done in the past, he would totally obliterate me. God does know what he's done, what we've done in the past. He knows where we've come from. He knows all our frailties. And because he's God, he loves us. And he looks us straight in the face and loves us. And he can recite all the things, which he won't do, but he could recite all the things we've ever done. And even worse, all the things we probably will end up doing. And he says, but I still love you. I will love you. I'm not going to change because I can't change. I'm God. And so the change has to happen on our side. And so he's done such an amazing work. And I've, over all these years that I've been preaching at us, I have been trying really hard to underline the fact of how much God loves us and how much he desires to see us victorious on this thing and to walk in the victory that he has provided, this perfect salvation that he's given us. So I just want to encourage us with that today, that we are beacons. God has set us on a hill. And in this time when people who are without a spiritual home, homeless, we can point the way to them. We can be the people who are filled with joy and with peace and with confidence and all the things that the world is screaming for at this point, and especially elderly people who are homebound or in nursing homes or are alone in their own homes or whatever. This is a fearful time for them. We have an opportunity to be salt and light in a way that we've probably not ever done in our lifetimes. So we're just in a very privileged position. I don't have it here with me right now, and it's going to be too complicated to look it up on my phone. But another verse to look up when we're after we're done is 1 Peter 3:15. And I'm not going to be able to quote it right now. But 1 Peter 3:15 is an amazing verse, to one we know, and but one we can really remember. So that's who we are. That's who God's called us to be. This is our job. We're the beacons. And he's called us to stand on our feet and do the job that he's equipped us for. And we're fully equipped because he's the one who does it. Let me pray for us, and then we'll close up with a time of prayer. So Father, would you again etch these powerful truths on our hearts, on our souls, on our minds, so that as we go about living through this odd season, that we would be convinced in our heart of hearts, that we might, as we used to say, that we would know that we know that we know that you are more than enough, and it's your provision we stand in. It's your armor that we dress ourselves in. It's your perfection that we appeal to. And so we are stronger than we think. We are better off than we think, and we have greater security than we could ever imagine. So thank you for making us beacons. Thank you for sending us out into the dark to light the way for many around us. And we bless you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay. Thank you, Don. That one comment about, you know, if we were to report how on a daily basis how many people had the flu and died of the flu, we would be just as fearful of the flu. Yeah. So that puts it into a very good perspective of the current situation. But we are under authority to stay social to have social distancing and stay in if you can. It's even on the signs throughout the highway. Yeah. So our prayers for today. And again, if you have any prayer needs, or if you want to pray yourself, let us know. We can unmute you specifically. And if you want to pray specifically for an issue or somebody, if you want, send it to Sue and she'll include it in the prayer list here. But I'm certain you read her email on Saturday. The first prayer is for wisdom for the nation's national, state, and local leaders, strength, protection, and health for our healthcare workers. And that is true.